From the KCPW Denker Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm Jason Mathis, your host. Downtown's economy continues to grow and fluctuate and evolve. Joining me today will be Jesse Dean, Director of Urban Development for the Downtown Alliance, talking about the State of Downtown, an economic benchmark report. This is an annual report that Jesse has produced every year for the past 5 years that measures downtown's economy. It looks at residential development, new offices being built, how many people are living downtown, what's happening with retail sales, the growth of restaurants, and what's happening with our homeless community. We'll talk about all of those things impacting the health of downtown and forecast the future for our urban center. All of that after these messages from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined this morning by my dear friend and colleague, Jesse Dean. Jesse is the Director of Urban Development for the Downtown Alliance. Jesse, welcome.
Thank you, Jason. I'm so excited to be here this morning.
I know. You get paid to say that also.
I've also had a lot of coffee, so I'm ready to go.
Ready to go. That's all it takes to fueling the Downtown Alliance, caffeine. Jesse, the Downtown Alliance today is releasing a big report on downtown's economy. What is the name of the report and what does it include?
Sure, Jason. So the 2016 State of Downtown Research Report is what we are releasing today. And this is our economic research report for the city. Or actually for downtown Salt Lake City, not Salt Lake City as a whole.
Well, it's for the city too in that we give it to the city.
Right. But the main focus is our main focus is on downtown Salt Lake City, which for the purposes of this report are North Temple to 400 South and then I-15 freeway to 300 East. The main goals of this report really are to provide our downtown stakeholders with economic information that helps them to inform good decisions, whether those are policy decisions, close deals, or just stay up to date about what's going on downtown and sound smart when, you know, nerds like me talk about retail sales for downtown over casual dinners conversations.
That's the sort of thing that people enjoy talking about. Either that or green bike. Those are the options.
That's true. I do know a gentleman who loves talking about green bike and statistics.
So. Ben Bolte, our green bike director and founder, loves talking about statistics and green bike. This is statistics about downtown's economy generally. What areas does the report cover? What sort of highlights do you look at? What sort of sectors of the economy are you focusing on?
So what we try and look at every year, first and foremost, is really office market. Office market is a really big – downtown is dominated by office employees, and the growth in the office sector is really important to the overall economy of downtown. But so we look at the office market. We look at the residential market. We look at wages paid. We also look at the overall employment numbers. Another section that we really like to think about is the current and future development. Mm-hmm. So what's happening currently in terms of new developments going on that are either under construction or planned towards the future, mostly because that really helps to generate additional economic revenue for downtown and really helps to drive the state's economy.
Okay, so you're looking at buildings that are getting built right now, what buildings might be planned in the future. What's the gist of the report? I mean, where is downtown? And I will add a caveat. You can kind of tell where we are today by looking at the past, and I think this is the fifth or sixth year that you've produced a report like this for downtown.
That's true. Every year we have benchmarked how downtown is doing and looked at it based off of previous years. This year is, again, just record-breaking year for downtown. All-time highs in retail sales. Downtown is performing extremely well.
What is that? So all-time highs in retail sales, what does that number look like?
Sure. So that's we topped over $850 million in retail sales this year, and that really is for the specific retail types that are important to downtown. So that's anything like City Creek Center malls. That's really restaurants and bars and other nightlife experiences. Restaurants and bars actually dominate the retail sales mm-hmm. categories in downtown, which shouldn't be really a surprise as we've seen significant growth in the restaurant and bar categories within the downtown core within the last 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
But retail remains strong. City Creek Center is really driving a lot of our retail sales.
So you said a record-setting year. What was the previous record? How much bigger was this year than the previous record?
It was about $50 million in increase, and that's year over year. That's quite a significant jump.
So last year was the previous $800 million, and this year $850 million.
Yes, exactly. That's a really great sign for downtown's economy, and I think that there's also a lot of room for that to grow, mostly because we see additional restaurants and bars being coming into the downtown market, and there's a significant need or thirst, if you will, for those types of spaces.
A hunger and a thirst for more restaurants and bars in downtown.
The other significant component would be the Gateway. So the Gateway has a new owner in Vestar, which is a Phoenix-based company. And currently the Gateway is about two-thirds empty, if we will. And that's a significant amount of retail space that's available in downtown.
I know some of those spaces, people are still paying leases, so you know technically they're leased up. But in terms of actual storefronts, a lot of room to grow for the Gateway as Vestar starts to make some big investments in that part of the city.
And that's exactly, and I think Vestar has a really great strategy for how they think about that mall that will help to not only capitalize what's happening in terms of engagement and people going to that mall, but really also translating to additional sales for downtown.
Yeah, one of the things that's been interesting that they've said is, they're really interested not in competing with City Creek Center, but complementing the retail component of City Creek Center with some cool entertainment, shopping, restaurants. As you've alluded to, restaurants seem to really be one of the things that sets downtown apart from other destinations. So there are other great, shopping facilities in Utah. Downtown has sort of a unique combination of really unusual, distinct, cool restaurants, really unusual, distinct shopping, and then cultural events, sporting events like the Jazz. I mean, there's a system that downtown has that other suburban communities just don't have.
That's exactly right. I think the biggest success that I see for the Gateway is that if they can really rebrand themselves as an entertainment mixed-use center, there's a lot of housing right in that neighborhood already. The Jazz are investing $125 million into the Vivint Smart Home Arena, which should keep that center there for another 25 to 50 years. We hope. So I think that they're well positioned to succeed. And that's actually one of the big, components that we look at when we say that we think retail sales will continue to grow in downtown.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other factors that we're really thinking about, the four factors that I'm thinking that are biggest for retail sales to continue growing are, one, the Gateway that we've already mentioned significantly. Two, I also think there's a dearth of restaurant and bar licenses for downtown. So that will really impede some of the growth that we've seen. And that's really a state issue with how liquor licensing is done.
Yeah.
Third is really regional competition. Other malls compete with our malls downtown. And that's just an ebb and flow process that we've seen over several decades, really.
Yeah.
And then fourth is really internet sales. But we've noticed that retail is really transitioning, and as far as the actual brick and mortar retails, to a more experiential customer-based experience. Everybody's very cognizant that retail is changing in downtowns and retail is changing across the world. So brick and mortar will continue to be successful.
Yeah, that's been an interesting evolution for retail. I think, really fueled a lot by internet. We've talked to some national consultants who look at retail, and they've said that the successful brick and mortar retail of the future, people go there because it's an experience. It's different than just clicking your mouse at home. You're actually going down for a social experience, for people watching, for a food and dining experience that you can't have at home. And the retail is a complement to that social experience. And in some ways, downtown seems really poised to take advantage of that changing retail dynamic.
Right. And I don't think we can forget there's tons of local small businesses and other retail shops. We focus a lot on City Creek Center and Gateway, and those are larger drivers. But they actually help to reap benefits, and there's a symbiotic relationship between them and the smaller businesses that we see on Main Street, the ones that we see on 300 South, over near Pioneer Park. There's a lot of great small local businesses that are helping to drive downtown's economy.
Yeah, so you mentioned concerns about not enough liquor licenses. The restaurants seem to be succeeding. I mean, restaurants and bars seem to be doing really well. Does the research indicate that there is room for more of that, that downtown could become even more vibrant for after-hours activities? And where do you think the Downtown Alliance is interested in going with those conversations?
I think that there is room for growth in the restaurant and I keep calling them bars, but really it's a club license. That's where there are a lot of issues. I think that there's availability of restaurant licenses for restaurants to be able to grow. But when you're a restaurateur looking to invest in a community, you may be wanting the coveted club license, which is really the 21 and over and has different minimums and maximums required for how alcohol is sold.
Yeah.
I do think that the local restaurateurs are not as fearful of how liquor licenses are done in the state, and I think that they're used to it. So we have great restaurateurs like Ryan Lauder with Copper Onion. He also owns Copper Common, and then another place called Copper Kitchen. Mm-hmm. And then another great person is Scott Evans, who has Finca downtown. And These are really seasoned veterans of the downtown culinary scene.
Joe LaSalle and Michael Tripp, who opened Current and Stanza.
Right.
And you've seen a growth of really high quality. And then the people who have Whiskey Street and Bourbon House also. I mean, there's some great, can't forget Martine. There's some great, really amazing restaurants who are doing well downtown.
I think that those are really great examples of successful restaurants. One of the things that I think is challenging is if you're an outside investor, say, coming from Portland or other large food communities who keep hearing all these great things about what's happening in downtown, saying, wow, why aren't we investing here? That would be cause for concern because they don't necessarily understand how to make money in the same ways that our local restaurateurs do.
Because of sort of the peculiarities, we don't have wholesale alcohol distribution for restaurants or bars as they do in most other states. We have a limited number of licenses. There are certain requirements to operate those that might be different than in some other communities.
That's right. But so I think that we don't have any specific ideas of how to change these. I think what we would like to see is a comprehensive review of Utah's alcohol policy, really focused on continuing the things that make Utah a unique state and saying that we want some of the lowest DUI numbers in the country. We want to have safe liquor distribution so that it's not harming our youth.
Yeah.
But we also need to think about this from an economic development and tourism standpoint.
Yeah.
So it's just a balance between those two.
Excellent. We are going to take a quick break talking with Jesse Dean, Director of Urban Development for the Downtown Alliance. We're talking about a report that's been released today by the Downtown Alliance focused on the economy of downtown Salt Lake City. We'll be right back after these messages. Welcome back to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm Jason Mathis, your host. My guest today is Jesse Dean. Jesse is the Director of Urban Development for the Downtown Alliance and kind of a genius in many ways. He puts together a report every year on the economy of downtown Salt Lake City in conjunction with our partners at CBRE. Let's talk a little bit about the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats for downtown. A SWOT analysis, if you will, because that's a new part of the report this year.
That's right, Jason. So this year we really wanted to break down what's happening in downtown's economy through a SWOT analysis, as you just mentioned. So some of the strengths that we look at that I think are advantages over the other communities or just our advantages for ourselves are really that we're a great transit hub in downtown Salt Lake City. I mean, really lucky in some ways that there was a lot of forethought into how our city was planned with the tracks and all the alternative transit options. We have a fantastic airport that's undergoing a significant rebuild, but that is already linked via tracks. And then we have a very sophisticated parking network and really driving network as well. So it's a very well situated in that front.
And green bike. We mustn't forget the green bike system.
Of course not. A really excellent last mile transit option.
Yeah.
We have a really talented workforce that's really accentuated by our universities that surround the community. We have the University of Utah, which is less than 10 minutes away, BYU to the south, Utah Valley University also to the south, and then up to the north we have Utah State University. And then we have Salt Lake Community College, which is also the largest academic institution throughout the city.
Yeah.
And then several smaller schools like the coding schools and then Newmont University, which is really a technology-based focus, helping to drive some of downtown's tech sector growth that we're seeing. And then really just the other large strength that we've seen in the 2015 year is the Main Street renaissance.
Yeah.
There's a whole entire block is under construction, essentially, with 111 Main, which is the new office tower being built that you see. It's a beautiful all-glass structure that's going to have about 440,000 square feet of office space. And then right next to that is the Eccles Theater, which is a 2,500-seat Broadway-style theater. And just right on the back is the Regent Street, which is a great, small retail and pedestrian friendly streets.
Yeah,
so.
And I think next month people are slated to start moving into 111. So 3,500 new employees in downtown, which is going to, I think, boy, that impacts every other element. I mean, we talk about downtown as a system and how if you change one element of the system, how it affects everything else. But having that new office tower open makes residential development easier. It makes restaurants more successful. It helps retail. It helps more people on the street, which helps with safety and security issues. So I think it's difficult to underestimate what's going to happen with 111 coming in. And then the Eccles Theater is this amazing, it's a crown jewel.
It's truly beautiful.
It's really going to be spectacular. I know there were a lot of people who had reservations about it in the formative stages. But I think anyone who walks into that theater and goes into the actual, for one thing, the winter lobby or the winter garden lobby is spectacular. But then going into the theater, I think people are going to go in there and go, oh, my gosh, I'm so proud that we have this in our state. This is such an amenity, and I'm proud to be from Utah because it really is a regional amenity. So those two things are going to continue to transform right. downtown. I think you're right.
So those are some great strengths. Some of the weaknesses that we're really looking at in the downtown are homeless services currently. Yeah. And I'm not talking about the homeless service providers themselves, but I'm actually talking about the overall system of how we think about homelessness. Right now, we have an emergency first model, and that really is just not a solid model for treating the homeless and making sure that they're treated in a dignified way. And it's not working well for the downtown community either.
So when you say emergency first, what is that?
You really should get Mayor McAdams on this show if you want to have the expert, because I've never heard anybody speak about homelessness so eloquently. But yeah. The emergency first shelter, really, so in order to get access to any of Utah's services, let's say I became homeless tomorrow, I would have to go down to Rio Grande Street and then check into the Road Home as part of my homeless services and say, I'm in need of services, I'm in need of a place right. to stay, and I would be put into the emergency shelter. That may not be a good fit for me. I'm young, I have a small family, I'm not kids yet, but dogs, right? But that point being is that that may not be the best fit for me personally, and that may isn't the best fit for certain individuals who are coming into the homeless network.
Yeah.
People become homeless for a variety of different reasons, and what we really need, and what is being addressed currently by both Salt Lake County and Salt Lake City, is additional shelter facilities, and additional shelter facilities that really are focusing on the populations that are there targeting, yeah. rather than it just being an emergency services first model.
So in your SWOT analysis currently, you're thinking of homeless services, the way we're providing homeless services right now, as a weakness, but it sounds like their help is on the way, that there are some plans from Mayor Biskupski
exactly right.
and Mayor McAdams to really address this issue.
That's exactly right. So that's one of them. The other one, and this is actually directly tied into this, is affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a significant shortage of affordable housing all across the state, but Salt Lake City perhaps has the most need,
mm-hmm.
With close to 4,000 units of need based off of our analysis in this report. And that is really, when people think about affordable housing, it seems they don't necessarily know exactly what populations that means.
Mm-hmm.
The way that we look at it is based off of area median household income. So based off of how much of your salary you're bringing in as a single person, maybe as a family. And some of those are, if it's under 30% of that AMI is what it's called, then you're really in the low income housing, and you need permanent supportive housing. And so that means that you're oscillating between homelessness and one day and being housed the other
right.
day. The other really is like the 30-80% is really more of our workforce housing.
So a real need for people on the lower end of the economic spectrum who want to live. And that I should point out, the 4,000 that you're identifying, that's not specific to downtown. That's Salt Lake City more generally.
Right. Yeah. We don't have specific numbers for downtown. And mostly I actually think that downtown is great for high density housing, but I also think it's a Salt Lake City that needs housing throughout all of its communities, not
right.
just the west side, not just the east side, downtown. All the areas are in need of this affordable housing.
Right. We've got about 3 minutes left. Let's talk a little bit about the opportunities and threats.
Sure. I think some of the biggest opportunities, one that we've already mentioned, downtown's west side, between the Gateway and Vivint Smart Home Arena, and then what's going on with what we were just talking about with the homeless services, that neighborhood, some people think that we're just trying to gentrify that neighborhood with all the changes that are happening.
Right.
But I really think it stands to become one of the most diverse, interesting communities that we have as not only an entertainment center, but actually a housing center. And there's you know, well over a couple thousand units either under construction, already built in that neighborhood. So that's really, I think that's poised to be one of downtown's most vibrant neighborhoods.
Yeah.
I also think that downtown's growing tech sector. There's a lot of tech companies moving in either regionally or from the Bay Area. That's a great employment opportunity and also just a great opportunity for vibrancy in the downtown core.
And this is something that's changed just over the past couple of years. It used to be that, you know, Silicon Slopes and Utah County and the southern part of Salt Lake County were where the tech firms were. And this isn't just happening in Utah. This is happening nationwide. Tech companies are increasingly drawn to an urban center because they want that diversity and that interesting experience. And they like to, you know, poach from each other. And it's an interesting organic thing that is happening in downtown right now, where all these tech companies are wanting to come to our urban center.
That's exactly right. And then the last real key point that we think is an opportunity is within economic development. Mm-hmm. So Mayor Biskupski, we have to, you know, tip our hats to her. She did a great job of, you know, elevating economic development to a department level division. She's yep. hired, it seems, a lovely person named Laura Fritz, who has a wonderful experience from all across the country, really, in economic development. And also Peter Makowski, who's the deputy director, yeah. I think, right now. But they have a great opportunity to help our economy continue to grow, really working to leverage assets for corporate recruitment, small business growth, and retention. So right. we're really excited to see that and think that'll really help downtown's economy.
Okay, and then we've got just about 30 seconds left. What are the threats that we see on the
sure.
horizon?
So I think the biggest threat currently, two biggest threats, I would say, are regulations and fees. Or one of them, and that's tied really into our economic development. So impact fees, which we've talked about previously on the show, and how we think about making sure that we're attracting the right types of investment into the community and providing the right types of incentives for developers to build as one. And then the other major one would be the Rio Grande Street and Fifth West currently, where it's moving. And that's the drug issues that are related. And that's a slightly different issue than the homeless shelters and the homelessness problems that we have on downtown's west side, but really a drug problem that is in that core.
Yeah, not to put too fine a point on it, but really it's a public health and safety crisis that we've asked the community to help and public leaders, you know, police department, county and city, really to partner up and solve this, because it is a huge crisis related to the homeless shelters that are there. But not all the people who are involved in this are homeless. There are a lot of drug dealers and then also just people coming down to party. And enough is enough. We got to fix this. It's a threat. Jesse, thanks so much for coming on today. Thanks for this report. What are you the most excited about in the last 15 seconds? What are you most excited about for the future for downtown based on the research that you've been working on?
Continued office development. I think that is the biggest key. I think that 440,000 square feet is wonderful for downtown, but I'd love to see additional office growth. And I think that the Boyer Company has a great tower proposed on 151 State Street. Mm-hmm. I know that CCRI has another tower that they've been talking about for close to the Harmon's Block. Mm-hmm. And I just think that those types of developments will continue to drive employment growth, which actually just correlates to residential growth and also to retail growth and everything else that you can do to create a symbiotic economy.
Awesome. Jesse Dean, the Director of Urban Development for the Downtown Alliance. This report is available on the Downtown Alliance website, which is downtownslc.org, along with past reports, so you can take a look at where we've been and where we're going. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m., where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.